Welcome to the Parenting is Heart Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky here with Elena Svetzlot, and we are grateful for the reports that we're getting from people about how they listen to the podcast. I had someone talk to me the other day, says, I just listened to all the podcasts. So that's a lot of podcasts to listen to before they give us a call in our office. But that's a great opportunity for people to learn more about how we think and how we're working with parents. And so, Elena, I'm grateful to be with you today. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Dr. Scott. Hi, everyone listening. Yes, indeed. So exciting to hear that parents are taking so much value out of our conversations. And we really hope that these episodes will bless as many parents as possible. Dr. Scott, we are going at the moment through the entire cycle of coaching we're doing with parents, which is an 8-week cycle of weekly coaching, weekly teaching, weekly work. We are currently we have currently done week 1 and 2, and we are now going in week 3. Week 1 and 2, we're focusing on the instruction routine and the break, and week 3, we're going to be focusing on the positive conclusion. So today we will be talking about how to end a correction time, a time of reflection for our children with a positive conclusion. That's what we will be focusing on today. And we will touch upon coaching tips. We will talk about how parents can learn more and put this into practice. So Dr. Scott, would you like to introduce us quickly to what do you mean when you first developed this? What did you exactly had in mind when you thought about a positive conclusion?
There are a couple things that are important here. One is that in most families, correction doesn't end well. What we have is tension, distance between the parent and child. Things are just not back to a good working relationship. And over time, the layers of distance increase. So we wanted to develop some kind of a tool to bring closeness back into the relationship between parent and child after correction. But the other thing that we're doing at the same time is we're studying God's word and trying to understand, you know, how does God work with us and correct us? And as we do that, we realize that there's a repentance process that God uses. And he ends that with in a positive way. So repentance isn't just about stopping something. It's about making a turn and going the right direction. So how do we take repentance and that idea of repentance and break it down for a child so that a child can put it into practice? So we developed a technique we call the positive conclusion that's based on the teaching in the Bible about repentance so that we can have something we can actually use that has theological roots to it. So that's why we developed the positive conclusion.
Yeah, I find it so interesting that indeed going through the Bible stories, we see so many times when a positive conclusion is being used by God. And I really like how you have structured it on the course. And we have infographics available on the biblical parenting course. We have all sorts of worksheets there, but this specific one is focusing on the steps. There are 4 specific steps we want to implement or we want to think about when we do the positive conclusion. But before that, I just want to touch upon the fact that, you know, positive conclusion happens as part of an entire process, which is first we start with giving the instruction, giving the time for the child to act on something we have asked. And then we go onto the break if that's needed, and the positive conclusion is very important because it really helps us to move forward and to have that sense of closeness in the child's heart. Dr. Scott, should we start talking quickly about the steps or the questions we are bringing into the positive conclusion, or would you like us to perhaps talk more generally about the biblical aspect of it?
Well, we can talk about the questions, but let me just say this. The positive conclusion is part of a cycle. Mm-hmm. So when we are working with children, as you said, most of our time is spent on the instruction routine. You know, getting things done in family life, going from here to there and getting clothes clean and dishes put away and cleaned up. And, you know, we got all these things we're doing in family life. And we use the instruction routine to build responsibility and obligation, responsiveness to authority, all these different things that are learned by children. That's the training cycle. But when children are off track and they have some kind of an issue going on, they're angry or defiant or dishonest or mean or whatever, then we use the break for them to step back and settle down. Then when they come back to the parent, we use the positive conclusion. And after the positive conclusion, we go back and practice doing the right thing. So cycle number two is different than cycle number one. Cycle number one is getting things done. Cycle number two, the child's off track. So the break has the child pull back. Then they come back to us when they're ready and settled down. And we go through this positive conclusion that has three questions and a statement. Mm-hmm. And that's how it fits into kind of the bigger picture here.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, indeed. Yes. And we are also helping in during this time. Actually, I like what you mentioned about refocusing and also refocusing our children from, identifying the wrong and or what has happened in the past, and all, but also looking into the future. And those four questions which I mentioned about, which I mentioned just earlier, are: what did you did wrong? Why was that wrong? What are you going to do differently next time? And the last one is go ahead and give it a try. So we are really trying not only to look back and reflect on what happened, but also give the child a point of reference in terms of how that should happen, how should it be changed in the future. And I really think that's very strong, because sometimes just by saying sorry, which is, we can be very superficial, doesn't really add any kind of layer of learning to it. So Dr. Scott, how would you coach parents to go through this process?
Well, I think an apology is good, a reconciliation is good, or sometimes you have to have a consequence. But the positive conclusion fits into all of that by taking the child through this internal process of repentance. Now, the first question that a child receives is the question, what did you do wrong? Now, that's different than who started it or tell me what happened here or something like that. When you enter into the question who started it, then you increase defensiveness on the part of a child. And so you ask the wrong questions, you build the wrong kind of patterns inside of a child's mind. Mm-hmm. We don't want children learning how to be defensive, and many children blame the problem on other people. And so this first question is so helpful for helping children take responsibility for their part of the problem. When you say to a child, okay, let's talk about this. What did you do wrong? They can say, well, she, and go into her problem, but wait a minute, I want to know, we'll talk about her in a minute, but let's talk about you. What did you do wrong? Because even if she ripped the toy out of your hand, you don't punch her. So let's talk about what you did wrong first. So we ask this first question because this is confession. This is how God designed our ability to move forward in our lives. We have to admit that we've done something wrong. This is such a valuable question because some children blame problems on other people. They develop a victim mentality about life. It's always somebody else's fault. And if everybody else would change, I'd be fine. And that leads to all kinds of problems in a child's life. If you're a victim, you don't have any control over your life. It's everybody else's fault. But as soon as you admit you're part of the problem, then you have some power because now you can bring about some change in for your part of the situation. So this first question is a very valuable question. We want children to learn how to ask it, and sometimes children will refuse to ask it, at which mm-hmm. point maybe they need to go sit in a break for a little bit because they're just being contrary, mm-hmm. and they need to come to a place where they're willing to admit what they've done wrong. Now, there is the time when a child's been in a break for a while or so much has happened that they've forgotten what they did wrong. I mean, life can get complicated, and so if that's the case, then you want to tell your child, what you did wrong was you hit your sister. Now, I'm going to ask you the question again, because you don't want to just tell them and have them agree. You want a child to confess. It's a very important part of the getting well is to admit what you did wrong. So you ask the question again. You say to a child, okay, I'm going to ask you again, what did you do wrong? And if this time the child is refusing to answer, you know that you've got a defiance issue still going on. You can send the child back to take a break. Go settle down, change your heart, come back and see me when you're ready. Because a child needs to be able to answer that question, what did you do wrong?
Dr. Scott, and how do we deal with children which are older or with teens or people who are, children who are a bit older than let's say, 7 or 8 in their teens, perhaps. How do we apply this for them?
Interesting. One mom told me the other day, she said, this positive conclusion is really interesting. I went home and I did it with my 18-year-old and my 19-year-old. I was really surprised that they answered the questions. It was great. I think these are adult questions. I use them for myself. If I mess up, I ask myself the question, okay, what did I do wrong? Why was it wrong? What am I going to do differently next time? And then I go ahead and try again. Those, it's very important to be able to use the questions that way, because we have a tendency to enter into some negative thinking. Oh, I'm such an idiot. I'm never going to get it right. These are the questions that guide us forward so that we can make a change in our way of living, and we can forgive ourselves in some respects. We can go forward in our lives and not be captured by our faults from the past. It's just a great tool that we can use well into a child's teen years.
Yeah, and it's worth mentioning at this point that during this process of coaching, what we are doing with parents is reflect on the previous weeks and reflect on the work that they have done. And they will be working through a certain we call it like a journal, but it can be just a way in which they can reflect on things they have learned and insights they have gained by working with their children on certain aspects. You know, what have they learned about their child, but also the situation and what are going to take forward. So it's important, indeed, like you said, as to reflect on how using these tools and techniques, how they can actually change over time as we use them more and as we try to implement them further. They can change their meaning also for different ages. So that's a very good tip there, Dr. Scott. I have another quick remark or question for you. What do we do with the child who is really, really challenging and defiant and really doesn't want to either accept that he has done something wrong, or he has done, or he doesn't want to try it again? And I'm talking really somebody who has a challenge in this area, and we put him in a break, but we don't notice a change. Do we keep on going? Do we try something different or maybe slightly different? What would you suggest?
Yes, I work with children regularly. Actually, I work with their parents of children that are very challenged. And they develop such significant patterns that sometimes we call them oppositional.
Yeah.
Sometimes kids are just defiant. They have bad attitudes. They have emotional explosiveness. And these are the families I work with on a regular basis. For those children, the break is not optional. It's not optional for anyone. Children need to learn how to take a break, and they may refuse to do it at first. And so we don't want to escalate with a child. We say to a parent, you need to say to the child, you're in a break, and walk away. But all life stops for that child. There's no more privileges that child has. I'm just working with a client now. Tonight, we're going into our 8th week, which is the full coaching program. For the first 6 weeks, this child, who's 7 years old, was very defiant and was hard, angry, explosive. And we continued to go back and back to these issues of cycle number two, the break, the positive conclusion, and practicing doing the right thing. Well, finally, in week 6, they send a journal report in to me each week. And when they sent this one in week 6, they said, I think we finally had a breakthrough here. So it took some time for them to come to that place where this child realizes that they can't control the family with defiance. And sometimes parents need to push through a bit with this. I think some parents are afraid of their children's emotions, and that just allows the child then to run the family. But sometimes the emotion center of the heart is very close to the change center of the heart. And a child needs to realize they can't continue to do what they're doing. Now, we have in the coaching program, of course, we tailor the program to each specific child. Not every child's not all children are the same. Every child's unique. So we have to take into consideration every child's unique characteristics. But we're going to find ways to make the break work. So if the break, finally, the child says, okay, I'm going to go take a break, or they come back and say, I'm ready. Then we'll say, okay, go through the positive conclusion, which isn't usually hard after the child's finally settled down. Then we say, you need to practice doing the right thing. Let's go back and take a break again. Show me you can do the right thing. And some children refuse again. And so we're back off and running. But this break is not an option. It is something that children must learn because it's an adult skill. When you are out of control emotionally, you need to be able to pull back and settle down. And the break is an excellent way to teach that to a child. And the positive conclusion then kind of works through the logic of this. Is an opportunity to teach children some very important things about the life situation that they're experiencing, and then they can practice again. So we do a lot of work, and it's not just about correction. So we go back to the instruction routine then, and we practice following instructions. So the child realizes he's going to learn that we are going to practice. This isn't just about giving instructions differently. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're just giving instructions to teach children that cycle, cycle number one. Because in cycle number one, they learn cooperation, giving up their agenda, learning how to do things they don't want to do. I mean, that's very important for children to learn, and parents are the ones teaching that. So we try to be gentle, but we're also firm. We try to be loving, certainly, but we also are very, we use firmness at the same time. So we balance the different tools. We don't only use firmness. Firmness is going to be an important tool for any of us, but there's also relationship and coaching that we use and visioning that we use, which are all relational tools that help a child see we can't live this way anymore. This isn't good for you to be living in a space where you're being demanding and controlling the family. We're going to go through and we're going to make some changes here. And when parents come to that place, then we're just giving them the tools to use to help bring about that change in a child's life.
Yeah, and it's worth mentioning also that as coaches, our role and our objective is to bring hope to parents in a sense that we really want to encourage and support and offer ideas and guidance. And I really like what you mentioned at some point regarding a basket of tools that we have at our disposal, and we can sometimes bring that forward to parents to help them choose, to help them look at what can be done in a different way and give some new insight. So very, very important to keep that in mind, that a coach can really help you navigate some challenging situations and give that support that maybe you as parents are missing and are not sure where to find it. Dr. Scott, we're coming towards the end of our episode today. And I really enjoy listening to what happens in week three of our coaching training. We hope that the parents have also enjoyed listening and are taking away some ideas on that they can implement. Are there any specifics you would like to add at the end of our chat?
Yeah, we're going to have to continue this podcast with another one on the same subject, because we really only delved into question number one here. We listed all the questions, but this first question is so important. Children must take responsibility for their part of the problem. It is not optional, and a child who has a problem blaming enters them into this cyclonic thinking where everybody else is the problem. I'm going to blame other people. This is such an important question that children, I would encourage parents to focus in on that question, be able to use that and teach children how to use that in their own lives, because it empowers them to move forward. So maybe in our next episode, we can talk about the other questions and how they also help greatly to bring about this concept of repentance into a child's heart. A great idea, I think, that God has given to us in this, because he knows our hearts. He knows how repentance is very important for any of us to bring about change. So we'll talk about it again in another episode.
Excellent. I'm so glad that we will do that. And in the meantime, if you would like to, parents, if you would like to listen to other previous episodes, we have a library of about 60 episodes. We have also, Dr. Scott has a lot of resources available on biblicalparenting.org. Please have a look there, dive into that, and share with other parents, those of you who you have in mind. If you are listening to this episode and you think this person can benefit, do go ahead and share. We really pray that your family will be blessed through this information that you get, and hopefully you'll see a lot of change in the hearts of your children. Have a good week. Until next time, God bless you.